QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, net control for the Tech Tuesday net at 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.330 megahertz plus offset of 600 kilohertz and a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted every other Tuesday, the second and fourth Tuesdays of the month, at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club for the use of the repeater for this net. For more information on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club, go to bbarc.org. That's bbarc.org. Or visit the K6BB Big Bear Amateur Radio Club Facebook page. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of technology itself, including amateur radio. Okay, a gateway to spark interest in various technological breakthroughs of today. Begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic, please call KF6Q. Hearing none, are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q. The only announcement I have is we have a Big Bear Amateur Radio Club meeting coming up this Saturday. Tech hour at 5:30, general meeting at 6:30. That'll be at the Paradise Yard as it has been. All right, well, the topic is we're going to pull out of the October 2014 issue of QST. Some new great information on digital amateur television. Some new stuff that's going on out there. We'll touch base on that a little bit tonight and see what's happening. All right, well, let's see who we have out there listening in this evening. And let's start out with a list here I have, tattered as it may be. How about KA6CIA, George?
And Tom, KA6CIA.
And good evening there, George. Glad to have you out there in Lucerne. All right, let's see here. How about WA6ITC? Let's see who we have Rod out there.
Yeah, we're out here. Lake Williams, WA6ITC.
And good evening there, Rod. Glad to have you listening in. How about KJ6FIL Mike in Redlands? He's out there someplace. We'll just wait for him to come back later on. KJ6KDL Jim and KJ6KDK Rosemary.
Hey, KJ6KDL here. Rosemary's nearby. Hands are busy. Check her in.
Jim, got you both checked in here. Thanks for being out there. All right, let's see if we have KI6IQA Kelly. Kelly, got a little noise in your signal there, but I did hear you. And good to have you out there. How about K6GBL? We'll see if we have Ron in Green Valley.
Good evening, Tom and Annette. This is Ron. I finally remembered. My old brain synapse fired and said, hey, it must be Tech Tuesday. Have a good one, Tom.
And we're about to send out search and rescue for you, but I'm glad to hear you out there. Thanks for joining us this evening. Yeah, every the second and fourth Tuesday, and maybe we'll get back to every Tuesday one of these days and get the confusion out of there, but glad to have you out there, Ron. How about 86PL Harold?
86PL.
Have you out there, Harold? Let's see, might be out there mobile. Let's see, KJ6RAY, Ray. Not hearing Ray right now. How about, not sure if he's out there, K6LCS Clint in Aruba Valley. I know Clint this evening. We'll give a quick call for W6JLM Judith and W6KMM Kim, KMM Ken. I'll get that out there, right? See if they're listening from Sugarloaf. Miss Judith, how about KJ6PYB Dave? Have communication problems here in Sugarloaf, that's all. All right, well, moving on down, let's try the lower desert with K6YNW Chris. Not hearing Chris, how about W6POO Chip?
Good evening, Tom and Matt. This is W6POO, and we are on Echo Link, and good to hear you tonight. And that's it, back to net control, W6POO.
Chip, yeah, I see you up there on the Echo Link screen. Good to have you with us. Thanks for being out there. All right, let's see. Let's move on down to KD6LAN Bill.
Yeah, we're here just like a sore toe. KD6LAN.
Oh, well, I'll just call you a stubby for being a stub toe if you were a stub. Good to have you out there, Bill. Thanks for listening in. All right, let's just go flip over to the other page. And let's see here. I have, he's out there in Santa Fe Springs, AE6CK Victor. I'm here, Victor, out there this evening. That's all right. KA6ROD Rod in Moonridge. All right, how about W6JET Robaroo? Wore himself out raking up pine needles. That's what it was. I heard him out there earlier today. All right, well, that's the primary list. We'll get into some of the other people here, like KK6FJE, Zach.
Oh, this is KK6FJE, Zach in Sugarloaf.
Zach, glad to have you out there listening in. How about KK6HUB, Bob over there, Irwin Lake?
Hey there, Tom and the group. Good evening, KK6HUB. Listening out here.
Bob, and caught part of a QSO earlier today. I'll have to call you Titanium Man, I guess. All right. We'll talk about that later. All right, how about W2PFA? Let's see if we have Art. Hi, Art. How about KK6MOS Brett? No Brett? Unusual. Okay. Anyway, I do have many others here. However, I'll let you check in if you would like. And let's anybody out there, please come back to KS6Q Tech Tuesday and the group. Sounds like we have a real small audience this evening, but that's okay. Anyway, topic is digital amateur TV, and of course a lot of you out there may not even be aware of amateur TV, which is basically like what we're doing right here, but transmitting a picture with it. Analog fashion has been around for quite some time. Prior to that, we had slow scan, sending pictures with using very little bandwidth on some of the HF bands. And the analog TV, basically, which has been the status quo for some time, up until a few years back, did just fine with the same issues it is any analog TV signal will have. Let me reset. Oh no, we switched over here in America to digital TV. Over-the-air broadcasts are now digital, different format, different everything. And we actually have a couple different things going on out there in the amateur world for digital TV. One of them appeared a few years back from Europe, very pricey, $1,200 plus just to get started. Yeah, if you wanted to do that, you had to bring a big wallet. But anyway, we have an article here in October 2014, and we're going to go over this article a little bit, just in brief, by Art Towsley, WA8RMC, and let's get started with that. guys, actually with Art and a few of his friends here, Ken Conachy, W6HHC, and I know there was another gentleman involved here, set out to actually build and develop the circuit board and the software and everything used based on software-defined radio chips to come up with a cheap solution, cheaper solution for digital amateur TV. The article is pretty extensive. I hope that everybody out there can actually pull this up and read this if you can, or pull out your QST. The very cool thing is the price and how they're going about this. They're doing to cover their costs. They are selling a completely assembled and tested board for $300 US, which in the terms of digital ATV is extremely cheap. In fact, it's a non-for-profit basis and specifically covers simply the cost of everything they have put into this, no more, no less. They're basically using an MPEG-2 transport stream. They have quite a few cool things here. They discuss DVB-S and DVB-T. We'll over that a little bit. Anybody out there familiar with that, please come back with what is DVB-S or DVB-T. Come back to KF6Q. I figured that, so let's talk about it. Okay, if you don't know about it, we're going to let you know. DVB-T is the accepted standard for digital signal modulation. The T stands for terrestrial, the S is for satellite. The DVB-S is the format for satellite TV, and T is what's being used over in Europe and a few other places. A lot of different modulation schemes, but they have picked these two, seem to be doing pretty well. And there are some USB dongles that are out there that are meant for receiving DVB-T. Really good range, actually, of over 150 miles, with transmitters that were only operating around 1 watt of output power. So a lot of good possibilities here with digital TV. Anyway, I guess, real quick, why would you want to be looking at somebody while you're talking to them? And let me reset and we'll get into that. KF6Q here, Tech Tuesday in the group. Well, you know what? And the same question came up earlier than this, and then they had Skype. Okay. Anybody out there familiar with Skype? Hey, very cool. Telephone with a picture. And essentially, that's what you got here with amateur TV, basically radio with picture. Pretty cool, and we're breaking into the digital world, so that's all cool, too. Anyway, with all that said, like I say, there's a lot of development still going on to get the cost down, basically into the realm. Like I said, it was $300 of this board they're working on now. As they extend this out, they hope to have that cost way under that, you know. So a lot of good stuff out there to work with this. Not too sure if anybody is out there. Jim, if you're still out there, are you familiar with what we call the free-to-air satellite set-top boxes?
I'm here, and no, I am not familiar.
Unbeknownst to a lot of people out there, we all know about Dish TV, DirecTV, satellite TV. Then there's the old huge, big old dish out there with a whole different band. And that is usually scrambled, so you're going to be paying for that too. Free-to-air satellite is basically there are satellites out there transmitting free TV. Yes, that's, you got that right. Of course, you're not going to get HBO, you're not going to get Cinemax, you're not going to get any stuff like that. But anyway, the set-top boxes, pretty cheap. You know, basically, anywhere from $125 all the way down to about $20 or $50. And essentially, with that and the right antenna, basically just the transponder. You can actually aim that up there with the same size dish or DirecTV dish. You have to change the transponder, though. It's a different type for that. Anyway, so with all that, this is a very good receiving end of equipment, very cheap and available. The hams out there that have been working on this have said, hey, let's use this for our receiver end, pretty cheap, and make it very, very affordable. Well, anyway, pretty much that's the rundown on this. It's good activity going on. There's a lot of info. It's like 4 pages on this article. Good information of that. Into the future we go with digital amateur TV Express. It's a new low-cost digital TV transmitter. Any other questions out there before we go into another topic?
W6AWO.
Yes, Art, go ahead.
Thomas, on another subject, I am not going to be here this weekend. I'm going down to be a part of Harry's funeral service, Harry Hines from our group. John is going to have our ECS meeting at 2 o'clock and open up the facilities over at Paradise. You need to have somebody over there because he has to leave after that meeting. So that way you can have it open for the rest of the evening. That's my communication tonight.
Hey, all right, well, that's good. At some point we need to get a key for our club use for that, or just move back to the other location, one of the two. It might be simpler. But anyway, good. Thanks for that information, and we'll mark that down. Anyway, anybody else out there with any other comments on digital amateur TV? Hey, Chris, glad to have you out there. How you doing?
We have a few people here in TV. I have an accent that we're going to digital, but oh, I will say they found it very interesting.
I think, Chris, the cool part about the digital aspect of this is still there's a lot of different things going on out there, and as we all know, software-defined radio, or the chips that basically they're composed of, essentially a microprocessor, microcontroller with software running the show, and when that's the case, you can modify that software, reload it, reburn it, reflash it, whatever the case is, and not have to redesign the entire radio, or in this case, digital amateur TV. So with that, it's very, very cool, and going after that aspect, it's just a matter of getting a stable electronics platform, you know, and working with that. Of course, software, like we all know, has bugs, getting the bugs worked out, getting everything just fine. But with it being software, features to be added, always interesting. So, yeah, very cool. We'll touch more on this later on, and glad to see that there's some people out there working on that. Anybody else out there, any comments on digital amateur TV? Chris, go ahead.
Yes. It'd be interesting to see when they go from analog to digital. Analog, you can set your ears to hear the guy, and digitally you do or don't. So this will be interesting.
Exactly, and I know that was when they went into over-the-air broadcast, standard broadcast TV. That was it. It was either going to be there or not. But when it is there, it's crystal clear. So, yeah, that's the ups and downs of that. So, yeah, analog, yeah, you can get a weak signal, but digital is a weak signal. There's that one point it drops off, and it's gone. Good deal. All right, thanks, Chris. Appreciate that. Anybody else?
W6DLO.
Yep, got you solid in here on Echo Link. Go ahead.
Uh,
Yeah, Tom, and the group, I was looking at the beginning of the article, and what caught my eye was they were talking about the Vidicon cameras way back in the early 70s. The high school up in Big Bear had a couple of video cameras and one-inch reel-to-reel videotape. Any event, the cameras were Vidicon, and it was a very strict rule that we could not point the cameras at any lights or the sun, because apparently Vidicon tubes are extremely sensitive to light, and you could literally fry the board, fry the tube, and thus you fry the board if you pointed the camera at any bright lights. I'm sure that's all changed now, but I do think I've seen on my digital camera the same thing, that you can't point it toward bright lights. You might fry the digital board as well, but it just caught my attention that the guy was talking about a camera tube that we used to have back in the 70s at the high school. It was kind of interesting to see that. W6POO.
C-Wex.
Oh, thanks, Sir Chip. Ah, C-Wex. Yes, go ahead, G. Yes, G, go ahead. I got you in here.
Well, I'm sorry I'm late, but I just came back from downtown, Russian side, but I guess the net is over already. So that's the way it is. See you later, alligator. Have a nice evening.
Not a problem, Guy. Well, the net's not over, but we're just talking about some digital TV here, but you go ahead and listen out. Not a problem. So, yeah, Chip, the Vidicon, or Vidicon tubes, I actually have a camera with that, and a very, very old one. And you know, a lot of the new the MOS cameras and stuff like that, cool stuff. Yeah, probably not as sensitive to damage, and a lot of them have like what they call an automatic iris. It gets too bright, it'll close it off. Basically. A lot of cool stuff out there. Look into a lot of the security, well, we call them security cameras, but they're cameras, period. Really neat stuff. And on the upper end, of course, like anything else, cost goes up, but it's all cool out there. Always cool to relate back to old technology and compare it to the new stuff. So, anyway, anybody else, please get back to KF6Q, Tech Tuesday and the group. Anyway, I thought that was a pretty cool article, just to give a brief thing, because actually about every year or two they come out with something really new, and now that I see that what these guys are doing, they're probably going to have a lot of, and there's actually, in fact, you know what, I should give that out. If you would like to participate in what they're working on, they have a webpage, and it's DATV, for digital ATV, DATV-Express.com. That's DATV-Express.com. And like I say, there's a lot of good stuff out there, and they actually have something that you can purchase and get involved with. I'm sure you would not be outdated, as the software can always be changed. Anyway, very cool, very cool, very cool. Want to just briefly touch to wrap up this evening on the following pages. Got a very cool antenna. It's a home builder type stuff. And they're talking about the extended double Zep. And they turned it into a Yagi. Now, hold up. Those of you out there who don't know what a double extended Zep is, it's a wire antenna. It's a 5/8 wave length in each direction. Gapped and fed with a ladder line, And with that said, of course, this is for the HF bands. And a guy actually made a reflector. It's very cool. This is on page 34. You got to check this out. Because actually, as we all know, that, you know, dipole is going to work just fine. Well, this ZIP is twice the gain of a dipole. So if you got the space, and I think this one here, let me reset. I believe he's using this for 20 meters. I would have to see here. I didn't really catch that in here, which band he has this set for. But either way, the calcs will work if you scale them out for each band. Of course, the double extended ZIP, 5/8 in each direction. Not too many of those kicking around on the 75 meter band, as it requires about 250 feet of length. So that's getting out there. But anyway, this is pretty neat and a neat application. And I said, well, you know what? I just want to aim at this. You know, actually, for all of us out here on the West Coast, if you just want to talk to the East Coast or over the pole, it would work pretty cool. So anyway, pretty neat article. All right. Anyway, any questions or comments out there before we get ready to wrap up Tech Tuesday here, please come back to KF6Q Tech Tuesday and the group. Hearing none, like I say, this is the annual DXing issue, October 2014, ARRL, QST Magazine. If you're not a member of the ARRL, please join. Got a lot of good stuff out there. So, anyway, that will wrap it up for this evening, but glad to have everybody out there who has checked in and participated. Always great to hear from everybody. And, of course, we'll see you in 2 weeks. A little more to go on with this QST also, and we'll proceed after that. All right, thanks again for everybody for joining. QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q Net Control for the Tech Tuesday Net. We'll be closing the net this evening at 1900 hours and 27 minutes. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.